Run Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, four lines down, the third word on the line, where it says, Ikka demasni la lahal de Rav Huna. Yesterday, the Gemara brought a teaching of Rav Huna, who mentioned the issue of charging a non-Jew ribbis, charging a non-Jew interest. Our daf today begins by reporting a different version of what Rav Huna said on this topic. The Gemara begins, Ikka demasni la lahal de Rav Huna, ahaditani Rav Yosef. Some taught that Rav Huna made his statement on the following teaching of Rav Yosef, who taught a brisa that discusses the pasuk in Mishpatim, which says, Im kesef talve es ami es heani imach. If you lend money to my people, and here it means there's a mitzvah to lend money to people in the Jewish nation, the pasuk concludes, es heani imach. The poor one who is with you. So the Brisa makes a drasha from this language that the pasuk emphasizes to extend a loan to somebody in need, to the ani, to the pauper who is imach, who is with you. This language teaches us that if one is presented with a choice, two people come to him for a loan, one a fellow Jew, another a non-Jew, ami v'nachri. The pasuk says if it's a choice between my people and a Gentile, ami kodem. The Jew who is in need of a loan comes first, he has precedence. That's what this language of imach, the poor person with you, teaches, that there's a system of kedima, that person who is closer to you comes first. And since the pasuk used the word ani, a poor person, we also learn that the halacha is ani va'ashir. If two people come to you for a loan, one is an ani, one's poor, and the other one is rich, meaning he has money, just right now he needs a loan. Certainly it would be a mitzvah to give even a rich person a loan, but between the two, ani kodem. The poor person would come first. We also learn from this language of imach, the one who is with you is in need of a loan. You should lend him money. But if you have a choice of v'niyecha v'niyeh irecha, between your poor, meaning people of your own family who are in need of money, and you have poor people in the city, not from your family, who need money, they need a loan. The halach in that case is aniyecha kodman. Your poor come first. The people of your family are more imach, they are with you. So they come before regular ani, someone else in the city who comes for a loan. If it's between poor of your city and poor of a different city, the poor of your city come first, they are given kedima, for in that situation they are more imach than the aniyim of a different city. The Gemara focuses on one of these cases that the Braisa said we learned from the pasuk. Amar Mar, the Braisa had said, Ami v'nachri, the choice is between somebody who from Ami, from my nation, a fellow Jew needs a loan, or Nachri, a non-Jew needs a loan. The pasuk teaches, Ami kodem, the Jewish person in need comes first. The Gemara wonders, this halacha seems a pshita, seems obvious. Obviously a fellow Jew comes before a non-Jew when it comes to giving tzedakah. So why does the Braisa need to make a whole teaching out of this? And the Gemara explains, and this is where we have this other version of Rav Huna. In this version, Rav Huna answered this question. Rav Nachman Amar Li Huna. Rav Nachman quoted Rav Huna. He said, he told me, and the answer is, Lo nitzricha da afilu l'nachri beribis l'Yisrael b'chinam. The point that the Brice is teaching us is that even if the situation is, the choice is, that this person, he has enough to give, you know, one person a loan. If he loans the non-Jew, he can charge the non-Jew ribis. We learned yesterday, ribis by non-Jew is permitted. There's a gzera, but in some cases, it's permitted. So in our case, he could lend the money to the non-Jew and collect ribbis, or to the Jew, and of course it'll have to be without ribbis. He can't charge a Jew interest. The Torah is saying that even in that situation, ami kodem, you must set aside the opportunity to make some money, charge interest to the non-Jew, and give the free loan to the fellow Jew. Now, it's not referring to where the Jew makes his parnasa by charging interest to the non-Jew. That would be something else. But we're not talking about where it says parnasa, where he just has an opportunity to make some money off this loan, or he can lend it for free to a fellow Jew. The halach is, he lends out, he does a gemach with the fellow Jew. That's the priority. The Gemara brings a brisa that makes an observation about somebody who commits the sin of ribbis. Tanya, the brisa says, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Bo re'e, come and see, Samu say ne'em shalom. Malvi Baribis, the blindness, how blind those who lend on interest are. For he points out, Adam Karlachavero Russia, normally if someone would go over to somebody else and call him a Russia, say, you're a wicked person, the person will not react well to that. He will likely be yored imo l'chayev. He will try to make the insulter's life miserable, try to get back at him. How could you call me a rush? How dare you? He'll be terribly upset. And yet, Rabbi Yossi says, Veheim, these malvi beribis, these lenders who charge interest to fellow Jews, may vien aidim velavler. They get a whole company together. They get witnesses. They get a sofer to write up the document of interest. Vekulmes idyo. They get the quill, the ink, vekosvin vechosmin. They write up this shtar, and the witnesses sign it. It's this whole public affair. And what is this document really saying? That they're, you know, drawing up as a whole public event. All of this is a grand announcement that Ploni Zeh Kofer Be'elokei Yisrael. That this lender denies God. Because if he believed in God, he would not transgress the prohibition of ribis. So Yossi remarks that somehow this one who charges interest is no longer upset, even though he is announcing to the world that he is a Rasha who denies God. More on the severity of ribis, the Gemara brings Tanya the Braisa, says Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol mi sheyesh lamos umalvo som shelo beribis, one who does the right thing, he fulfills the mitzvah of lending money interest free, all of about him, the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Kaspo lonasan beneshech." He does not give out his money with neshech with interest. V'shochad al naki lalokach, and he does not take a bribe. Oseila, when he does this, when he conducts himself this way with his money, lo yimot leolam, he shall not falter forever. Oh, the Maritza, the Brisa remarks, this teaches you the negative, you know, inference from this pasuk in Tehillim is that Shekola Malva Beribis, you know, violates the commandment of Ribis, he lends out his money and charges interest, Nechasa Vismotitin, his assets shall falter, will lose all of his money. The Gemara has a question. I, Vahoka Chazinan, I, we observe, the Lamos Vibribis, you have good people who lend out their money and do not charge interest, and yet become Vismotitin. And yet we see that even these good people will fall in hard times, they'll lose all their money. The Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Elazar. Halalu mismotedin ve'olin. True, even decent people can fall in hard times, they can lose their money, but they'll get back on their feet again. It'll only be temporary. But halalu, these ones who violate the commandment, the ribis mismotedin ve'inan olin. They'll fall and never get up again. They won't be able to recover from the financial disaster that will strike them. And a similar idea is expressed in Habakkuk. Says in the Navi there, Lama Sabit Bogdim Tacharish Bivala Rasha Tzadik Mimenu. The Navi cries out to Hashem, how do you watch when the Bogdim, the ones who betray these bad people, and Hashem, your Tacharish, you're silent apparently, even as a Rasha, wicked person, swallows up one who is more righteous than he. So Rav Huna comments on the Pasuk's language that it implies Tzadik Mimenu Balea. True, it could happen that a bad person can swallow up one who is more righteous than he is. He can do things that are not nice to him. However, the Navi indicates, Tzadik Gomer in a Balea, completely, thoroughly righteous person, will not be swallowed up by a Rasha. So this teaching also is saying that even people who are basically good people, bad things could happen, but these hard times will only be temporary, whereas for certain Rishayim, Hashem will bring calamity on them and they'll never recover from it. The Gemara brings another Braisa, Tanya, the Braisa says, Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Ger Tzedek Amur Le'inyin Mechira, a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, it means somebody who fully converted to Judaism, which the term mentions in the context of the halach of selling an Eved Ivri. A Jewish person who became totally impoverished had to sell himself as an Eved Ivri. As we'll see, the term mentions the convert in that context. And Rebbe says, V'ger Toshav Amur Le'inyin Ribis, the Ger Toshav, the resident Ger, meaning someone who is not Jewish, but has accepted on himself the Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nei Noach, the basic things that are expected even from non-Jews, he is mentioned in the context of Ribbis, as we'll see. And he says, both of these Gerim, the Ger Tzedek by Mechira and the Ger Tosha by Ribbis, in Yodea Mahu, I don't know what to make of them. I don't understand why the Torah singles out these people in these contexts. The Gemara will now elaborate on Rebbe's question. What was he referring to? What was his question? So first the Gemara explains, Ger Tzedek Amur Le'inyin Mechira, when Rebbe makes reference to a regular full convert regarding the halacha of sale of an Eved Ivri, is what he was referring to. The Chsiv, the Torah says in Parshas Behar, V'chiyon Mucha achicha imach v'nim karlach. Should your brother become totally impoverished and he'll sell himself to you as an eved ivri. Now, as the Gemara in Erechin explains, there's a whole progression going on over here, meaning the pasuk previously was discussing the law of Shemitah specifically, and there was a prohibition to sell Shemitah produce, and that is followed in the passage by this discussion of someone who sells himself as an eved ivri. The Gemara in Erechin explains that there's a connection. That is, the Torah is referring to a person who violated the halacha, he sold Shemitah produce, even though relatively speaking that it's not a major violation of the Shemitah, it's a vak shvius, and yet, due to that sin, he'll become destitute and have to sell himself as an Eved Ivri. So first, the pasuk mentions an Eved Ivri being sold to a regular Jew. The Braisa says, not only that, since this person continues to sin, he doesn't recognize the sin, doesn't rectify his ways, then not only will he be sold to regular Israel, Leger, will be sold to Ger, to a convert, Shenem Leger. The pasuk there mentions Ger, and it continues, below Leger Tzedek, since this person continues in his sinful ways, not only will he be sold to a Ger, will be sold El Leger Toshav. The next step will be, he'll be sold to a Ger Toshav, to a non-Jew, though he keeps the Shemitz Benoach, he's not Jewish, Shenem Leger Toshav, for the pasuk there mentions Ger. And so meaning we're splitting up the phrase, we first focused on the first word ger, and now we're looking at the whole phrase ger toshav. So the next step is ger toshav, and then if he continues to sin, the Torah says mishpachas ger, the next thing is he'll be sold to the family of ger. This expression means zeh nachri, to someone who's just a nachri, doesn't even keep the Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach, serves idols, things like that. Kishu omer, then the Torah continues oleh ker, or to an idol, means that rock bottom, if he still didn't do tshuva, zanimcha lavodas kocham atzma, this person will be sold to the idol itself, meaning he'll be hired as a worker for the house of idol worship, he'll have to help carry the water, chop the wood for the house of idol worship if he doesn't recognize and repent from his evil ways, which started from seemingly a minor sin of avakshal shvias, yet this is the consequence of getting ensnared in a life of sin. So this was the teaching that Rebbe was referring to, and now the Gemara explains what Rebbe's question was. Amar Mar, let's look at the Braisa again. The Braisa said, V'lolacha l'ger shenemer l'ger. One of the steps of this progression was, if he continues to sin, he'll be sold to a convert. So Rebbe found this difficult to understand. For he asked, L'memra d'ger kani eved ivri? Is the Braisa saying then that a convert is able to acquire an eved ivri? Ay Raminhi contrasts this assertion with the following braisa, which says, Ein hager nikne be'eved ivri. First of all, a convert cannot be acquired as an eved ivri. Vein isha v'ger konen eved ivri. And a woman or a convert may not acquire an eved ivri. This braisa says explicitly, the halacha says a convert cannot acquire an eved ivri. So what does the previous braisa mean, that if this Jew continues to sin and be sold as an eved ivri to a ger can't acquire a Jew as an eved ivri? And the Gemara explains these halachas of the braisa states. Again, first of all, ger lo nikne be'eved ivri, a convert cannot be acquired as an eved ivri, because the pasuk states regarding the eved ivri that with the arrival of the yovel year, v'shovel mishpachto, he's free to go, he goes back to his family. So ba'inan, we require that the person in question have that quality of he goes back to his family in order for him to be included in the law of eved ivri. V'ha'alek, in the case of a ger, you do not have that, for as soon as a person converts, halachically he's not related to his biological relatives, so he doesn't have a halachic family, therefore he's excluded from the whole parsha of Eved Ivri. That's why ger can't be acquired as an Eved Ivri. And regarding the Braisa statement that ve'ein isha v'ger konan Eved Ivri, a woman and convert cannot acquire an Eved Ivri, the Gemara explains isha, a woman can't, because lavarach ara, that would not be appropriate, that could lead to a situation where they might sin, she might sin with this Jewish man that she's acquiring as an Eved Ivri, so that's not allowed. And ger nami, the reason by contrary is because gemiri, we have a tradition that says the mikni kani, only someone who can himself be acquired as an Eved Ivri, at least theoretically, he can acquire somebody else's Eved Ivri, de lo mikni lo kani. But otherwise not, if he can't be acquired as an Eved Ivri, he cannot acquire somebody else as his Eved Ivri. So therefore a convert cannot acquire an Eved Ivri, because he himself, as we explained above, can't be acquired as an Eved Ivri. So again, again, this seems to contradict the earlier brisa that discusses this case of an Eved Ivri being sold to a ger. Aye, Rebbe asked, that's not possible. The Gemara now answers Rebbe's question. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak explains that what does this second brisa really mean when it says that the convert does not acquire a Jewish Eved Ivri? What it really means is Eino Kona Vidino Ki Yisrael. The convert does not acquire the Eved Ivri as Yisrael does. Aval Kona Vidino Ki Nachri. But he could acquire an Eved Ivri, just that the status of that acquisition, of that arrangement, will be the same as in the case of where a non-Jew acquires an Eved Ivri. And the Gemara explains the practical difference between an Eved Ivri that's under the jurisdiction of a Jew versus under a non-Jew. The Tanya, but the Brice explains, HaNirtza, in the case, first of all, of a Nirtza, so of course, this is the Eved Ivri, who voluntarily decided to extend his servitude beyond the regular 6 years. The Torah says after that, he goes free. He says, no, I like working for this person. I want to stay as his Eved Ivri. So he's called Nirtza because they have to do a ceremony where his master bores a hole through his ear. So Nirtza, the one who had his ear pierced, that's the case the Breitzer first refers to, and v'hanimcha l'nachri, as well as an Eved Ivri who had to sell himself to a non-Jewish master. The halacha is, in either of these cases, eina oved lo es haben v'lo es habas. Should the master die, again, whether it's the Jewish master of an Eved Nirtzer, or whether it's a non-Jewish master of an Eved Ivri, should that person die, the Eved Ivri is not obligated to serve his heir, his son or daughter. The obligation does not continue. He simply goes free, and these halachas are derived from the psukim and Gemara and Kedushin. So the point here is that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak suggests like this: really, a convert could acquire an Eved Ivri, just that is considered like a non-Jew who acquires an Eved Ivri, which practically means that should the convert die, his children will not inherit the right to have the Eved Ivri work. Rather, the Eved Ivri will go free. So therefore, the earlier price is perfectly understandable. Of course, you could have a case where an Eved Ivri is sold to a convert. Having mentioned these people who the Brice had said cannot acquire an Eved Ivri, the Gemara focuses on these halachas, discusses them a little further. The Brice had said, "Ve'ini shavigera konan Eved Ivri." Woman or a ger cannot acquire an Eved Ivri, we said in the Brice. The Gemara says, "Neima the loker of Shimon ben Gamliel." Shall we say that this Brice is not like the opinion of Shimon ben Gamliel? We find in a different Brice, the Tanya, the other Brice says, first opinion says, "Isha kones hashvachos." A woman could acquire female slaves, ve'ina kones avadim, but not male slaves. That's the first opinion. But Rav Shimon ben Gamliel lomer af kones avadim, says no, she too could acquire male slaves. So seemingly, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion is at odds with the above brisa that said that a woman cannot acquire a male eved ivri. But the Gemara says not necessarily a problem. Could say afilu tam Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. It's possible that the earlier brisa is compatible even with the opinion of Shimon ben Gamliel. But lokashin, there's no contradiction. So we could say kan be eved ivri. In brisa number one, we were discussing whether a woman could acquire a Jewish eved ivri. The brisa on that said no. Kan be eved kanani. Shimon ben Gamliel is talking about whether a woman could acquire a non-Jewish slave. On that question, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says she may. So it's two different subjects, and therefore it's not a contradiction. For the Gemara suggests how we can understand why this halacha would differ from Eved Ivri to Eved Kanani. For Eved Ivri specifically, where this male slave that she is making her Eved Ivri is a Jewish person, so the concern is tzniyala. Since the presumption is that he'll be more of a tzniyas person, he's not going to go around telling people about the fact that he sinned with her. Therefore, there is a real concern that she'll sin with him. So therefore, it's not a rachara. It's not appropriate for her to go and acquire a Jewish Eved Ivri. Whereas, Shmuel Leo is talking about Eved Kanani. Now, Eved Kanani is Paretz law. In general, a Gentile Eved Kanani would not conduct himself with tzinius. He would be open about something like that he sinned with this woman. So in that situation, Shimon Gamliel argues that we're not concerned that she will sin with him because she will be afraid he will divulge what happened. So therefore, Shimon Gamliel permits a woman to acquire an Eved Kanani. But the Gemara has a question on this, which is Allah Ditani, Rav Yosef. But if that's true, let's look at the Brice that Rav Yosef taught. It says, Armalta lo terabi kalba. A widow, a woman who is like living alone, should not raise a dog because of the possibility that she will commit a sin of bestiality. And furthermore, velo tishari barbe rav ushbiza. This single woman, this widow, should not host a young Torah scholar because a sin may occur. So the Gemara asks, based on the distinction you said above, bishlama barbe rav tsinila. We understand the second halacha here. It's a problem for her to have this barbe rav, this yeshiva student, stay by her, because there she won't be afraid that he'll go and tell people what happened. He'll be tsniela. He's going to keep it himself. So then there's a concern that they might sin elakalba, but the concern by the dog that something will happen there, where it says, according to what you said earlier, it shouldn't be a problem for kivin the misrach. But since if that happened, if she engaged in bestiality, what would then occur is the dog would cling to her, and that would be a sign to people that something immoral occurred. Samirta said that should create a sense of fear in her, you know, not to do such a thing. People will find out about it. So why is it an issue? The Gemara answers, Amri said, and this is the answer, kivin the chishadil umsa, since if you throw a dog some raw meat, misrach basra, that will have the same effect. The dog will cling to its master just because the master feeds it, gives it some nice meat, and the dog becomes the owner's best friend. So therefore, she's not afraid that people will suspect that there was a sin. For Amri Inshi, Mishim Umsa the Shadjalehu the Misrach. She'll say to herself that when people see the dog clings to me, that's simply because I give it nice food. Doesn't necessarily imply any kind of sin, any kind of act of immorality. Therefore, there is a concern. That's why it says she can't, you know, live alone raising this dog. Gemara now wonders, Ger Toshava Amur Le'inyin Ribis Mai. What is this other passage where we have Ger Toshav mentioned in the context of Ribis that the Rebbe had a question on? So the Gemara explains, Dechsev says there in Parshas Bahar, V'chiyomu chachicho mati yado imach. If you see that your brother, your fellow Jew, is falling on hard times, he's impoverished, he has no money, he needs your help, v'yachazak debo, you shall strengthen him. And says the pasuk, ger v'toshav, whether he's a ger, he's a convert, or a toshav, or he's a non-Jew, but he abides by the shemitzas b'nei Noach, that person as well, v'chai yimach, should take steps to enable him to live with you, get him back on his feet. And the next pasuk there says, al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis, do not take from him ribis, do not take interest from him, v'yareisa me'elekecha, you shall fear your God, v'chai achicha yimach, and thereby let your brother live with you. So certainly a simple reading of the passage seems to indicate that the Torah is saying you cannot charge even a ger toshev, even a non-Jew. If he abides by the shemitzas b'nei Noach, you can't charge him ribis. So Rebbe's question was, Ayra Minhi, contrast what the Torah seems to say with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, lo vin me'en u'malvin ha'son b'ribis. The Mishnah says you're allowed to charge non-Jews interest, and the Mishnah specifically says, v'chein b'ger toshev, as well as by a ger toshev, you're allowed to charge even a ger toshev of interest. So it seems to be a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Pasuk. That was Rebbe's question. The Gemara answers this question to Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. He again answers the question by explaining as follows. Miksiv al tikach me'itam. Does the Pasuk say, when it talks about the prohibition of ribis here, does it say in the plural, do not take from them ribis? No, it's not what it says. Me'itoksiv. Pasuk actually says, you're not allowed to take ribis from him. It's talking in Lashon Yachid, even though we mentioned different people. We mentioned a regular Jew, we mentioned a Ger Toshav. So, Nachum Yitzchak explains, we see the Pasuk means Miyisrael. This particular prohibition of ribis is only hearkening back onto a Jew. Can't take ribis from a fellow Jew, but you could from a Ger Toshav. And the Ger Toshav is only mentioned there to include him in the general mitzvah of helping him out. If he needs help, get back on his feet, he needs a loan, you can give him a loan, then you have an obligation to the Ger Toshav. But the prohibition of ribis does not apply to him. The Gemara brings a brice on the subject of the case of interest between, you know, Jews and non-Jews, Tan Rabban. Rabban Tan Nebraisa, the Torah says, Al tikach me'ito neshech v'sarbis, thou shalt not take ribis from your fellow Jew. Says the Braisa, the Torah indicates though, avalato nasa lo aref. You may, it's permitted to be a guarantor on a loan that's with interest. So turning to Amid Beis, the Gemara asks, Orev leman. What exactly is this case that the Braisa says it's permitted permitted for a Jew to be guarantor on a loan that's with interest, Ilema Arev LiYisrael, if we're talking about being a guarantor in a case of a loan between Jews with interest, a Jew is illegally charging another Jew interest, and the question is if this third party could serve as an Arev, be a guarantor to the loan, where it says it can't be that Brisa means that, for that's not true. For Veotano, we learn later in the Mishnah, Nineim Beis, Elu Ovrim Belosa, say the Mishnah teaches the following parties to a illegal loan and interest transgress a negative commandment in the Torah, and they are Amalva, the lender, Valova, borrower, Arev, guarantor, Vaedim, and the witnesses. All these people who were party to the illegal loan and interest broke a negative commandment in the Torah. So obviously, our Bryce is not saying that one could be guarantor by loan with interest between two Jews. Therefore, the Gemara explains, Ella Lenachri. Rather, it means it's permitted for a Jew to serve as a guarantor on a loan between a Jew and a non-Jew. But the Jew is borrowing money from a non-Jew and he's paying interest on that. It's not a problem for a third party, a Jewish person, to serve as a guarantor to that loan with interest, because interest between a Jew and a non-Jew is not prohibited. And this third party is just serving as the guarantor. The real lender is a non-Jew. So therefore, there's no problem here. But the Gemara is a question that does seem to be a problem. Since according to secular law, the way it works when you do a loan and you have a guarantor is that the lender doesn't even bother going to the borrower. He goes directly to the guarantor, and the guarantor goes and collects from the borrower. Well, if that's the system, it means then that essentially there are two loans going on over here with interest. Really what's going on is that the non-Jew is lending this third party, this guarantor, a loan on interest. So fine, that transaction is fine. But then when the guarantor pays that money with the interest and then demands that debt, meaning principal plus interest from the original borrower, says the Gemara, Ihu niu de keshako mine ribisa, it is he, the guarantor, who is really loaning money to this other Jew and charging him interest, so that should be a serious problem of ribis. The Gemara answers, Am Rav Sheshes, Shekibel alav ladun bedine Yisrael, where it says, you're right, in general, you could have a big problem in this kind of situation, but the Brice is referring to a case where the non-Jew accepted upon himself to do things according to Jewish law. And Jewish law says that an Arev, unless you specify otherwise, the concept of Arev in Jewish law is that the debt is really to this borrower. If the borrower defaults, then the Arev guarantees the loan. He'll pay if the borrower can't pay, but the real loan is between this lender and this borrower. The lender here is not Jewish, therefore, there's no issue of ribis in this situation. For sure, the borrower defaults, then that means the guarantor will pay the entire sum, the principal and the interest, to the non-Jewish lender, and then at that point the borrower becomes obligated to pay that entire sum, meaning the whole thing becomes principal between the original borrower and the guarantor. So that's not a problem at all, that's not ribis. The Gemara wonders though, if you're saying that the case is this non-Jew accepted upon himself to conduct things according to Jewish law, he kivel alav adam in Israel, if so, ribis nami lo lishkol, the non-Jew should not be allowed to take ribis. How could he take ribis if he accepted to do it according to Jewish law? Jewish law says he can't collect interest on a loan. The Gemara answers, Om Rav Sheshe, Shekibel alav lezu, velo kibel alav lezu. This non-Jew agreed to do it according to Jewish law to an extent, meaning only with regards to the way Jewish law treats the Arev, that the Arev isn't the borrower, he is just the backup person. He guarantees the loan by adopting Jewish law for that, that enables them to do this transaction without a problem of ribis. But as regards the basic question of can a non-Jew charge interest, the non-Jew keeps the secular law that he's allowed to do that, so he can collect his interest. Our Mishnah then discussed, again, a situation where you have three parties, two of them are Jewish and the other non-Jewish. The Mishnah said, Malva Yisrael Mosav Shal Nachri Midas HaNachri. A Jew who borrowed money from a non-Jew on interest is allowed to transfer that loan to another Jew, even though it's on interest, as long as he does so Midas HaNachri with the knowledge of the original non-Jewish lender. So the Gemara gets into this case. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Tana Nebraisa. Again, the Mishnah says this halacha, Malva Yisrael Mosav Shal Nachri Midas HaNachri. Jewish borrower number one who borrowed money and interest from a non-Jew may then lend that money to a Jew on interest, provided that it's with the non-Jewish lender's consent. Avolomi das Yisrael. But not if Jewish borrower number one is doing this unilaterally. Ketzad. So how does it work practically? So the Raisa explains, this is what we're saying. Yisrael shalava mos minan nachri beribis. Jewish borrower number one borrowed money on interest from a non-Jew. Bikesh lachzirim lo, he's ready to pay back the debt. But matzi Yisrael acher v'amr lo. A second Jewish person met the first one and said to him, he said, I understand that you have this loan from the non-Jew. You know what, let me take over your loan. To namely, lend me this capital, and v'ani alalach, I'll take care of the debt and any additional accruing interest to the non-Jewish lender. Kedera shatamalo, just as you would have had to pay whatever additional interest should accrue due to my, you know, extending the loan. Not to worry, I'm going to pay all of that to this non-Jewish lender. Says the Braisa, Asur, this is prohibited. Because since the non-Jewish lender did not authorize this new loan, therefore what you really have is a new loan from one Jew to another Jew on interest. The second borrower really owes the first borrower whatever interest he accrues from this loan. So that case is Asur. Baisa says though, Vimemido Etzel Nachri, but if borrower number one stood borrower number two in the presence of the non-Jewish lender who authorized these new terms, then Mutter, then it's not a problem. For here what's coming on is the non-Jewish lender is transferring the loan to this Jewish borrower, so not a problem for this non-Jewish lender to charge him interest. Even if the first Jewish borrower physically hands the money over to the second Jewish borrower, that's not a problem, but we say the first Jewish borrower is just acting as the agent of the non-Jewish lender, and therefore it is the non-Jew who is really doing this new loan, so therefore not a problem in this case. The Braisa then says, similarly, if we switch the roles, we talk about a case where Nachri Shalava Mos Miyisrael Beribis, where first a non-Jew borrowed money from a Jew with interest, Ubikesh Lachzirim, he was ready to pay back the loan, but then Matzi Shalachav Yermelot, namely Vani Halach Kedashatim Alalo. The second person, who was Jewish, requested of the non-Jewish borrower that, let me take over the loan, and I'll pay whatever additional interest accrues. Says the Braisa, in this case, mutter. It's permitted, it's not ribbis, because the new loan is coming from the non-Jew to the Jew, so it's okay to charge interest. But if the non-Jewish borrower did this in the presence of the Jewish lender, then aser, then you have a problem. That would be prohibited, because here, the non-Jewish borrower is acting as the agent of the Jewish lender. So that really it's the Jewish lender who is lending money to this other Jew on interest. So therefore that case would be prohibited. The Gemara now analyzes the Braisa and points out, Bishlama Seifa, I understand the ruling of the Seifa, the ruling we just discussed, why the Braisa says that if in the original Jewish lender's presence, the non-Jew hands the money, hands the loan over to this second Jew on interest, I understand why that's prohibited. Even though, as the Gemara will say, non-Jews are excluded from the halachic concept of shlichas, a non-Jew can't halachically serve as an agent, nonetheless, the Braisa says it's a problem. And we do regard the non-Jewish borrower as agent of the Jewish lender, so that it is a problem of ribbis l'chumra, because the Rabbanan are being stringent. That is, the Torah says that really it's still the non-Jew is lending the money to the Jew. So really it shouldn't be a problem, because the non-Jew is not halachically capable of being an agent of this Jewish lender. But l'chumra is a stringency. We say, you know, it appears like he's his agent, therefore you should avoid it. It's a problem of ribbis, I mean the Rabbanan. Ela Reisha, however, what the Reisha says seems difficult to understand, for the Reisha says that if the first Jewish borrower transfers the loan to a second Jewish borrower in the presence of the original non-Jewish lender, then it's permitted. Why is it permitted? We explain, because if the non-Jewish lender is present, then we say the first Jewish borrower is acting merely as his agent, and the loan is from the non-Jew to the Jew, so it's fine to do it on interest. The problem is, even the ain shlichos lenachri, since the halacha is the non-Jews are not part of the system of shlichos, a non-Jew can't be an agent in halacha. So really, then that means iuniu de kashalko mine rabisa. It's really the first Jewish borrower is doing the loan to this other Jewish person on interest. So it should be a problem of ribbis. Meaning, of course, you can't pretend that a non-Jew does have shlichos. He could be an agent if the result is a leniency. It doesn't make any sense. So how do we understand the reisha? The Gemara answers, Amravuna Bar Menoch, Mishmeh Ravacha Bredi Rav Yeka. He explains that Hacha B'mayas Kinan, here in this Brisa, what are we dealing with? What's the case? Kigon, the Amr Leia Nicham Al Gabi Karka V'Pater. It was more than just that the first Jewish borrower transferred the loan to the second Jewish borrower in the presence of the non-Jew. It was more than that. The non-Jew said to borrower number one, put the money down and I'll be considered that you're exempt from your loan to me. Whereupon the second borrower picked up the money off the floor. So in that case, of course, there's no ribbis problem. Because as soon as borrower number one put the money on the floor, he absolved himself. He has paid off his debt. He's considered to have paid it off. So he's out of the picture. And so, of course, when borrower number two picks up this money, he is borrowing it from the non-Jew. And therefore, clearly, there's no issue of ribbis. And so now the Gemara asks, Yachi, if so, but if that's really the case, my lememra, what is that saying that we wouldn't have understood on our own? It's obvious. What's the chiddush? Why would it have to even tell us such a halacha? Therefore, the Gemara suggests differently. Elam Rapapa Kigon Shenatal V'Nasan Biyad. Rapapa says the reason it's not ribbis is because the case is the non-Jewish lender actually accepted the money from the first Jewish borrower, and then he handed it to borrower number two. So the Gemara says now the question is even stronger. V'Yakati Elam Emra. Still, what's the chiddush? What's the point of the Braisa teaching such an obvious halacha? If the first borrower physically handed the money to the non-Jewish lender, so clearly he paid back the money, he's out of the picture, and now it's simply a loan from a non-Jew to a Jew, so of course ribbis is not a problem. So seemingly the Rapapa made it worse, but the Gemara answers no. Mahu the same, if the Braisa didn't teach this halacha, he might have said that Nachri Gufei ki Ovid adaita the Yisrael kagamir v'yahiv. Perhaps the way we construe this little transaction is that you have Jewish borrower number one who directs the non-Jewish lender. He says, Mr. Non-Jewish lender, I'd like to transfer this loan to my friend here, Shmerel, second Jewish borrower. And the non-Jewish lender agrees and accepts the money and then hands it to Shmerel, the second Jewish borrower. Perhaps the way we interpret that is that the non-Jewish lender is merely acting as the first Jewish borrower. Shliach says, okay, fine, I'll hand the money to the second Jewish borrower. And if so, he's not really absolving the first Jewish borrower. He's not really accepting payment. He's just being a shliach to hand the money over to Jewish borrower number two. In which case, if this is true, then it turns out that it's really a loan from the first Jewish borrower to the second Jewish borrower on interest, so it would be a problem. So Kamashmal, and therefore the Braisa teaches us that it's not true. If the first Jewish borrower actually hands the money back, well, then the first Jewish borrower is out of the picture, and therefore this new loan is really a loan from a non-Jew to a Jew, and therefore it's not an issue to do it on interest. The Gemara now suggests a new approach, again, to the question the Gemara asked above, that how could the Reisha of the Braisa say that as long as Jewish borrower number one transfers the loan to Jewish borrower number two in the non-Jewish lender's presence, that there's then no problem of ribbis, apparently because we regard Jewish borrower number one as agent of this non-Jewish lender? But the Gemara pointed out that a non-Jew is not able to utilize the halachic system of shlichas, which means then that really Jewish borrower number one is unilaterally lending money to Jewish borrower number two on interest. First question, the Gemara suggests a new approach to answer this question. And that is Ravashi. Ravashi says, Ki amrinan ein shlichas l'nachri. When does this rule hold true that a non-Jew is not part of the system of shlichas? Ravashi suggests that hani mili b'truma. This rule is only stated in the context of the specific halacha of truma. I mean, what kind of person can you appoint as an agent to separate truma for you? Whereas the Gemara will mention truma as a source case for the concept of shlichas, that you can appoint an agent, let's say, to separate the truma for you. The Torah over there stresses that we're talking about a case of atem. You can appoint an agent, but only you who are b'nei bris, who are part of the covenant, who are Jewish, can utilize this halacha of agency, but not somebody who's not b'nei bris, not a non-Jew. So Vashi wants to suggest that that exclusion of non-Jews from shlichas is specifically by shlichas when you're dealing with appointing somebody to separate truma for you. Avol b'kola, Torah kula, but everywhere else in the Torah, yei shlichas l'nachri. Really, even a non-Jew can be part of the system of shlichas. And that is why the Reish of the Braisa says there's no ribbis problem, because as long as you're in the non-Jewish lender's presence, we say the first Jewish borrower is his agent, so really the non-Jewish lender is the lender on this new alone, and so there's no ribbis problem. But the Gemara rejects this, and where it says, V'adar Rav Ashi Barusahi. This opinion of Rav Ashi is like an outside opinion. This is not in the mainstream. We don't accept Rav Ashi's opinion. The Gemara explains why. The Gemara explains there's no basis to make a distinction between shlichas by truma and shlichas everywhere else in the Torah. From Aishna, truma de lo, what's the reason that a non-Jew is excluded from agency by truma? Is because the chsiv, the pasuk by truma says the word atem, you, plural, talking to the nation of Yisrael, you separate your truma and you can use an agent to do so. Gam atem, the pasuk adds the word gam, also you, to include that even your agents can separate the truma for you. But since it says the word atem, it stresses you can do this, we derive the ma'atem b'nei bris, just as you, the Jewish people, are part of the b'nei bris. You're part of the Jewish people, part of the people who made the bris with Hashem, the pact, the treaty, to observe his Torah. Shluchachem nami b'nei bris. So too, if you want to utilize this system of having an agent do it for you, such that we consider his act to be as if the principal did it, that only applies by people of b'nei bris, people in the covenant, but not a non-Jew. So that's how we know it by truma. So the Gemara says, shlichus to kol haTorah kula nami. Once we have that exclusion from truma, that's going to apply to the rest of the Torah too. Because mi truma gamriela. Because truma serves as a source for the rest of the Torah, that there's a concept of shlichus. So if by truma non-Jew is excluded from shlichus, then it means all of the Torah non-Jew is excluded from shlichus. So the Gemara concludes, ela de Rav Ashi Barusi. Rather, we see the Rav Ashi's suggestion is an outside suggestion. It's not in the mainstream. We don't accept this. The Gemara brings a different version of Rav Ashi's approach here. It could, I mean, some say this is what Rav Ashi said. Amar Rav Ashi, ki amrinan ein shlichus lenachri. When do we have this rule? The non-Jew is not part of the system of shlichus. Yes, that applies everywhere, according to this version, even not by truma. But hani mili inu lididan. Rav Ashi suggests that the derivation from the pasuk by truma only tells us that a non-Jew can't be an agent for us, meaning when the pasuk says gam by truma to include, even your agent could separate the truma for you. Yes, that's connected to the word atem, and just like you are b'nei bris, so too the shliach must be b'nei bris. But Rav Ashi suggests in this version of lanan lididhu avina lehu shliach to do it the other way, that is, a non-Jew be the principal and appoint a Jewish agent. That Rav Ashi suggests was never excluded from the pasuk, and therefore we understand the brisa in the reisha, which says as long as the new loan was done in the non-Jewish lender's presence, we'll say the non-Jew was appointing the Jew as his agent, and therefore really it's the non-Jew who's doing the new loan, and therefore ribbis is not a problem. So says Rav Ashi in this new version. But the Gemara rejects this version as well, saying V'adar Rav Ashi Barusi. This view is also an outside view. We don't accept this view. For the Gemara argues, Maishnad Inu Lididan Delo. Why is it that Rav Ashi agrees that a non-Jew can't be an agent? Ichsiv comes from, again, the word there by Chuma. It says Atem, Gam Atem. It adds the word Gam, L'Rabu Shluchachem, to include that even your agent could separate the Chuma. And we connect it to the word Atem to learn Ma Atem b'nei bris, just as you are part of the bris, you're part of the Jewish people, av shluchachem b'nei bris, so too we require that your agent be one of the b'nei bris. It says the Gemara included in this derivation is anan l'didhu nami, is the qualification of the one sending the shliach, namely ma'atem b'nei bris kamar. We're starting from the atem, the person appointing the agent. That person is also part of this derivation, meaning that the Torah is saying both parties of the shlichas arrangement must be b'nei bris. And meaning just as you who are sending the agent has to be b'nei bris, has to be Jewish, so too the agent has to be Jewish. But in other words, clearly the principal too must be Jewish. Only a Jewish person can utilize the halachic system of shlichas. Hence the Gemara concludes, Elohadar Rav Ashi Barusi. This version of Rav Ashi too is Barusi. It's an outside view. It's not an accepted mainstream view. The Gemara suggests a different approach, how we can understand again why, as long as they do the new loan to the second Jewish borrower in the presence, the original non-Jewish lender, that's not a problem of ribbis. The Gemara suggests maybe this is how it works. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Nihi the shlichus lenachri lesle. It's true that a non-Jew cannot utilize the system of shlichus. He can't be an agent. He can't appoint an agent. However, Zechia mi the Rabbanan isle. Ravina suggests that the Rabbanan granted a non-Jew the power of Zechia. Midi dehave a katan, just like they did so in the case of a minor. Zechia means the idea of acquiring something on someone else's behalf, even without his consent, even without being appointed as his agent. Like, let's say Shmerel finds a diamond and he says, you know, I'd like to give my friend Beryl this diamond. Beryl has no idea about this, and yet the halacha is that Shmerel is able to acquire the diamond on behalf of Beryl, and now the diamond is considered Beryl's. For Zachin Lalalim Shalom Bafanov, you could acquire on behalf of somebody else, even though you weren't appointed as agent in a situation where clearly he would be agreeable with the thing you're transferring to him. Now that works. It works on a similar mechanism as Shlichus, but it is like a separate concept. So the Gemara suggests, Ravina says, that the Rabbanan enacted that you could do Zechia even for a non-Jew, and therefore, this is what the Braisa is saying. What happens is, the borrower, number one, in the presence of this non-Jew, takes the money for the non-Jew. So true, he can't get that money to the non-Jew through shlichus, because ain't shlichus lenachri, but he could do it through zechia. Once the rabbis gave the power of zechia, so that really works, the rabbis have control over monetary affairs, so now it is literally, halachically, the money is considered to have been acquired by the non-Jew, so the first borrower paid off his debt. And now, the non-Jewish lender is doing a new loan to this second Jewish borrower on interest, which is fine, of course. Ravina suggests that that's the understanding of the Reisha of the Braisa. And the Gemara says that the rabbis give the power of Zechia by a non-Jew just like they did by a katan. The Gemara now explains this point. Katan, a minor, lav afagav de lesle shlichas. Is it not the case that even though, of course, there's no system of shlichas, a minor cannot appoint an agent in halacha, yet, continuing to Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, isle Zechia mi de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did grant him the power of Zechia. That is, if somebody else picks up something, picks up a toy for a little cotton, acquires it for him, then the cotton has acquired it. So Ravina wants to say that Achanami Loshna, you're also regarding a non-Jew, same thing, the Rabbanan granted the power of Zechiyah to him, and that's why you don't have a ribbis problem in the erasure of the Braisa. But the Gemara says, Velo, it's not true. There is a significant distinction between a minor and a non-Jew regarding this issue. For at least Yisrael, Asi Lechlal Shlichas. He might be a minor, but he's still Yisrael, he's Jewish. So therefore, eventually, he'll become an adult and then be included, be a part of the system of shlichas. So it's not so radical for the Rabbanan to say that we're going to grant him the ability to be a recipient of a zechia even right now as a minor. Whereas akum lo asi leklal shlichas, the Gemara points out, it's harder to say that there's zechia by a non-Jew, for he'll never be part of shlichas. And as we mentioned above, zechia basically works on the mechanism of shlichas. The basic concept is the same, that one person does something and it counts for somebody else. So since the non-Jew will never be part of that system, it's therefore harder to say that the rabbis give any power like that, any power of zechia by a non-Jew. So Ravina's answer here is not so simple, the Gemara concludes.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.